You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio and Holistic Health News, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio, or NPE Radio. I am very, very happy that you've decided to return for another episode. Before we begin, on Synbiotics, you can find my articles and my podcast at www.naturopathicearth.com. Not naturopathic, but naturo, N-A-T-U-R-O-P-A-T-H-I-C, earth.com. Please visit my website. You can find me at Naturopath on Twitter. You can find me, of course, on Facebook and befriend me, please. Go to our Naturopathic Earth page on Facebook and like us if you like to like us. And you can find me on Instagram at naturopathic_earth with the ick. Also, you can find Kate McCall's Kate's Apothecary podcast on iTunes. Give that a listen if you like more of the botanical science stuff as opposed to more of the clean eating stuff and toxins that I talk about on my podcast. Also, subscribe to our daily newsletter, and you enter a raffle to get a free essential oil blend. We'll probably have a new one in about 2 weeks, right around the time that school begins again. If you guys don't know, Kate and I are both teachers. She teaches computer science. She's also a certified aromatherapist and herbalist. But on the side, she teaches, and I teach the medical nutrition classes in high school, too. I'm in charge of the kids that go to hospitals to do observations and shadowing, and I also teach pharmacology and medical terminology and anatomy and good stuff like that. So today, we're going to talk about synbiotics. A lot of you have never heard of synbiotics before, but when I define it, you'll be like, oh, okay, well, that makes complete sense. That makes complete sense. So really easily. We know the importance of prebiotics and probiotics. NPE Radios 2 and 3 covered that. And then we also covered if antibiotics make you fat. We covered a clean eating pantry. We've covered the effects of the microbiome on our overall health many, many times in this podcast. So prebiotics are going to be the foods that feed our natural beneficial bacteria, which we call, and fungus, which we call probiotics. So probiotics are, we use the term probiotics in a couple of ways. One, probiotics are the good bacteria on our skin and in our GI tract and our cavities of the body, mostly. And we also use the term probiotics for foods that are fermented or contain live cultures or they have live bacteria. So imagine like when you drink kombucha, you're drinking live bacteria and fungus that resides in your belly, like Party in My Tummy by Yo Gabba Gabba, and they go down into your gut. So that's what probiotics are. Now, prebiotics are going to be the foods that naturally feed our probiotic bacteria. There's a constant fight in our body, and on one side we have pathogenic bacteria, which we're exposed to every day, trying to get us sick. And on the other side, we're going to have the immune system and our probiotic or our good bacteria. Examples of which would be like lactobacillus, acidophilus, for example. Those are two pretty common ones. And then you have some bacteria that are probiotic in one part of the body, but are pathogenic in another part of the body as well. So you have this constant fight, probiotics in the immune system versus pathogenic bacteria. So we want to have our body to have a preponderance or a stronger weight on the probiotic side than on the pathogenic side. The best way to do that is to be eating a lot of prebiotic foods. Prebiotic foods, as I mentioned, are foods that make your probiotic food grow naturally. Because guys, when you eat, let's say Greek yogurt, you might be getting 15 billion bacteria, which sounds like a lot, but we have, and the amount of bacteria in our microbiome is kind of unknown, but it's definitely in the trillions. So even though eating Greek yogurt or miso or natto is good for you, the best way to keep that preponderance on the good side is to eat a lot of prebiotic food. And we've talked about what prebiotic foods are. These are mostly going to be vegetables, fruits, and some other items. So synbiotics, just like the name, you kind of think of syn, you think of synergy, you think of synchronicity, like the Police album of 1984 that had Every Breath You Take. You think of things that are symbiotic. You think of things that work well together. Now, synbiotics is not the same thing as symbiosis, which is like two organisms that work together in a beneficial way. Synbiotics is just a combination of eating a prebiotic food with a probiotic food at the same time, at the same meal. By eating a prebiotic and a probiotic food at the same time, you're kind of maximizing both of their powers. It's like a synergistic effect to strengthen both the probiotic and the prebiotic food. So what we're going to do is we're just going to talk about a couple of easy ways to combine a prebiotic with a probiotic food. Now, again, have a diet that's high in prebiotics and probiotics, but try to eat these at the same time. All right, so the first one we're going to do is pretty easy. It's going to be Greek yogurt with honey. A lot of the world eats Greek yogurt with honey, not just in Greece, but the Middle East, they eat a lot of yogurt. And of course, Europe and pretty much the whole world eats Greek yogurt with honey. The great thing about Greek yogurt, of course, Greek yogurt is going to be the prebiotic source. It's a great source of fat, especially if you get full fat, which is the one you should get, Faye or phage. If you haven't listened to the Greek yogurt review that I did a few episodes back, has a full fat Greek yogurt. Chobani, I don't believe it does. Trader Joe's does. But Greek yogurt's a great source of fat, protein, calcium. It's low in carbs. Of course, try to get the full fat and try to get unflavored varieties because the flavored varieties, of course, have a lot of sugar. If you haven't listened to the episode on sugar-laden superfoods. Another great thing about Greek yogurt is that it's pretty low on lactose, which is one of the reasons that people are allergic to dairies. So when you're looking at Greek yogurts, and if you haven't listened to that episode on Greek yogurts, the best thing you want to look for is ones that have the most strands of bacteria, and some of them have fungus too. So the larger amount of strands, and preferably organic because you want to avoid the growth hormones, the RBGH and the RBST that are on the typical conventional Greek yogurt. On the honey side, honey, of course, is one of the most unadulterated, perfected sweeteners in the world that's not sugar. If you haven't listened to, I think I wrote an article on non-sugar sweeteners. I'll eventually do a podcast on it. Honey, along with maple syrup, with molasses too. These are great sources of sweetening because honey actually has polyphenols, it has phytonutrients, it actually has minerals and enzymes that you're not going to find in typical cane sugar. So honey is the prebiotic food. It feeds our bacteria naturally. So by combining Greek yogurt with honey, not only does it taste good, but it's extremely good for your health and your microbiome. And we know that it's very important to have a strong, healthy microbiome. Again, let's review really quickly. Those people who have a very strong microbiome, of course, are going to have better digestive health, so not just constipation and less constipation, less gas, and less stinky butt, and all those things like that. But in general, you're going to have less chance of having leaky gut syndrome or dysbiosis. Also, you have a less chance of getting autoimmune diseases. Crohn's disease, for example, is one that shows up in the GI tract. You tend to have better moods because serotonin, which is the mood neurotransmitter, is largely made up in the gut. You tend to have a lesser weight, or you tend to maintain your weight better. You also have a stronger immune system because, like I mentioned, the immune system is largely resides in the gut. They call the gut the second brain because so much of our immune system is down there too. So there are a lot of reasons why you want to have a diet that's high in probiotics. So with the Greek yogurt and honey, if you want to throw in some low glycemic fruits, some cherries or berries, throw in some seeds like chia seeds, why not make a great yogurt bowl? And if you're looking for a great yogurt bowl recipe, I have one on my website. Just search yogurt bowl. Number two, kefir with unripened bananas. Kefir, or as we call it in America, kefir with unripened bananas. All right, kefir is a Near East or Middle Eastern yogurt drink. And it's gotten really popular in the last decade. Those that live in the Middle East or in the Levant have been drinking it for hundreds of years. Now, if you ever go to a Middle Eastern restaurant and drink real kefir, it's pretty disgusting. It's tough to drink. It's tough to drink. But it is very nutrient-dense. And actually, it's more nutrient-dense than the typical Greek yogurt. Typically, kefir is going to be a little more liquidy. The most popular brand here in America is Lifeway. You'll find that in any grocery store. But Lifeway, you got to be careful because it has tons of sugar. A cup or a quarter of a cup, let's see if I remember correctly. I think a cup of kefir, Lifeway kefir, is about 20 grams of sugar. They do have organic kefir, which comes in these little shot bottles I used to give to my kids. Those might be a better option because it's smaller than a cup and only has about 8 grams of sugar. So I'd look for those organic little shots of Lifeway kefir. If you live in an area that has other brands of kefir, which might happen because it's becoming more popular, or go to the Middle Eastern restaurant, try those, but just check the sugar in the back. I go to Pasha, which is my favorite Middle East restaurant. They have a kefir there, and it tastes very natural, but very strong. Also, kefir water is pretty popular now. You might see that in a lot of the green whole paycheck type stores. So you drink kefir or eat kefir, and you can add in some green bananas or unripened bananas. We've talked about unripened bananas as being probably the most inexpensive prebiotic resistant starch food that you can get. Also, green bananas have a quarter of the sugar that regular ripe bananas have, but still retain all the nutrition, all the potassium that a regular banana has. So even though you might have developed a taste for unripened bananas, they are very good for you. And one of the things that you can do if you want to put them in smoothies is buy green bananas and then peel them, unpeel them, cut them up, and put them in a bag and put them in the freezer. So whenever you use them for a smoothie or something else, they're still going to be essentially unripened bananas. So do another type of yogurt bowl, throw in some kefir, cut up some unripened bananas, and put in some nuts, some pumpkin seeds. All those are great prebiotic foods as well. So that's another good symbiotic tandem or symbiotic combo. So far we got kefir with unripened bananas, and then you can augment that as you like. Greek yogurt with honey. Again, each of these is a prebiotic with a probiotic. Number three is kombucha with chia seeds. You gotta love the booch. Now, if you guys don't know what kombucha is, I've talked about it a lot in these podcasts. It's fermented black tea, typically with a little dash of sugar and some fruit juice of some sort. People make kombucha at home. Now, I've never been able to do it because I really haven't invested any time in it. But I know people, Facebook friends, who make it, and they have no problem making it. You just develop the SCOBY, which is that little bacteria fungus laden, and then you scoop that out and you put it in another starter kit, and you can make your own kombucha. So I'd recommend that you try making one because it saves money, because kombucha is $3 to $4 to $6, and it can be expensive. And as I mentioned in sugar-laden superfoods, kombucha now is coming very sugary. A lot of the big companies now have realized a lot of people are into the booch, and so they're making their own brand of kombucha, and people want to drink that, and they try, like, oh my God, this is sweet, I'm going to get off of sodas, but they don't look on the back and realize there's 15 to 20 grams per serving, and there's 2 or 3 servings in a kombucha bottle, so you're getting almost as much as sugar than you are in a soda. Granted, now, kombucha is better for you than soda, but just be wary, there are a lot of brands that have low sugar. So with kombucha, you want to opt for the one that is lowest in sugar and the highest strains of bacteria and fungus. Like most live cultured prebiotic foods, that's what you're looking for, a wide variety of bacteria and fungus. And they'll label them on the back, guys, so you can see what they have. And don't feel bad if you don't recognize a lot of the bacteria and fungus. Just look for a lot in the list. Okay, look for a lot. I'd also opt for organic because, unfortunately, tea is so good for you, either herbal or the ones that come from the Camellia sinensis plant, so the oolong, the black, the green, and the white. But they spray tons of pesticides. Unfortunately, most of our tea comes from Asia, and they spray tons of pesticides. And unfortunately, tea plants do absorb a lot. So it's important to get organic if you can afford it. On the article on my website on Symbiotics, I do have a link to Amazon where you can buy a kombucha kit to start your own kombucha. And I also have a link to get your own kefir if you want to make your own kefir as well. Chia seeds are probably, arguably, the best seeds on the planet. They're not really seeds that, of course, you can just eat, like you can't sunflower or pumpkin seeds, but they're really high in omega-3 fatty acids. They're a great source of unsaturated fat, but they're also one of those weird sources of unsaturated fats that have a lot of fat, but they also have a lot of fiber. Now, you can find that like an avocado and coconuts, but chia seeds are great because like a tablespoon of chia seeds will have maybe 4 grams of fiber, 5 grams of fiber, which is incredible, and only 1 tablespoon. It's a very good source. And the great thing about chia seeds is like they're like chameleons. They don't really taste like anything. So you can put them on anything. You can put them on salads. You can put them on entrees, you know, on top of meat. You can put them on eggs like I do. You can put them on ice cream. You can put them on anything. Just find a way to put chia seeds in your diet. So kombucha with chia seeds, I thought about because kombucha, of course, is probiotic and the chia seeds are prebiotic, and there are kombucha brands that have chia seeds in them. You've also maybe seen some sugary drinks that have chia seeds, like I think Mama Chia is a brand that's like a drink with chia seeds in it. If I'm not mistaken, though, that's not kombucha. That's just like a sugary drink. But GT's is probably the most popular kombucha brand, and they do have a couple with chia seeds in them. If not, make your own. Buy some chia seeds and buy some kombucha and throw some chia seeds in there. Some people like to eat their chia seeds by just putting a tablespoon in their mouth. I find that to be pretty disgusting because they get stuck in your mouth. Other people will put in a cup of water and drink it really quickly. Some of you already know that chia seeds get kind of gelatinous once you put them in something, so just be aware of that. I typically put them my day-to-day life in my yogurt bowls, which I typically have for lunch, and then on eggs, and then on smoothies. That's how I typically do it. Number four is going to be raw milk, a raw milk smoothie with dark chocolate, nut butter, and flaxseed. So raw milk with dark chocolate, nut butter, and flaxseed. Now, back in the day, for millennia, we would drink raw milk straight from the cow. Now, many of you might not know this, but raw milk has probiotic bacteria. And this is one of the reasons that Louis Pasteur thought of the idea of pasteurizing it, is because people did die from some of this bacteria. Now, do people die today from raw milk? It's very rare, partly because most of the milk that we are exposed to is pasteurized and homogenized. So with pasteurization, they heat up the milk to a very high temperature to kill all the bacteria. They kill the probiotic and the pathogenic. But one of the reasons that people died in the old days from raw milk is because we just didn't prepare it well. We didn't refrigerate it well. And nowadays, of course, we don't have that problem. So look for raw milk. Raw milk is par excellence of all the milks. It's much better than any other milk because it comes straight from the cow. So go to farmers markets or co-ops to find raw milk and make a smoothie. And the smoothie can have a lot of the same recipes that you'd put in a typical smoothie. I would add Greek yogurt just to add more prebiotics to it and give a little frothiness to it. But then from there, there's tons of prebiotics you can throw in. I would go in with unripened bananas, go in with honey, chia seeds, but you can also throw in flaxseed. You could throw in dark chocolate if you want it to be a little sweeter. You can throw in some almonds or almond butter. Berries are a pretty decent prebiotic source, not as good as some of the other ones, which I'll mention at the end. Throw in some cinnamon, whatever you like, but just make the main component of your smoothie to be raw milk, because raw milk is probiotic. Regular milk is not probiotic. Dark chocolate is a great prebiotic, which I'll mention at the end, and so is flaxseed. So again, similar to, let's say, a yogurt bowl, throw in whatever you want in the smoothie and make it a good symbiotic item. The last one I'm going to mention today is something that's not sweet. We're going to go with miso soup with onion, leeks, and asparagus. Now, for you guys that don't know other probiotic foods, I didn't mention tempeh, I didn't mention natto, I didn't mention kimchi. These are more of the warm foods. These are fermented vegetables. With miso, I thought miso would be a good one to have in here because it's a big staple in Chinese restaurants, Japanese restaurants in particular. It's a soup made from fermented soybeans. And then they typically will mix in some salt, some rice, some barley, and other ingredients. You know, everybody makes their miso a little different. Now, I'm not a big fan of soybeans because they're genetically modified and they're estrogenic. But in this case, if it's a good source of probiotic bacteria for you, then it's okay to have miso soup a couple of times a week, or if not once a week, because it is a great good source. It's a good source of protein, and there's a lot of nutrition in miso soup, and it's really good, like on a cold day, right? So that's your probiotic food, and then you can mix it with a variety of prebiotic foods. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, most prebiotic foods are going to be vegetables, so it shouldn't be hard just to throw in some vegetables to your miso soup. Now, I might take it away from a classic-looking miso soup, but at the same time, who really cares, right? It's all the same in your belly. So some great prebiotics that I'm going to mention are going to be the prebiotics that are very high in resistant starch, which is like another name for prebiotics, because resistant starch, essentially, it not only does it grow your probiotic bacteria well, but it creates butyrate and butyric acid and feeds medium chain triglycerides or medium chain fatty acids and so forth. And these are all really good for your intestines, especially your large intestines. But raw onions, leeks, asparagus, artichokes, radishes, cabbage, any of those things to augment your miso soup and make it really good. So onions, leeks, asparagus, artichokes, radishes, cabbage, those are all great prebiotic sources. Those are the five that I want to mention. So again, well, let's review. Now, symbiotics is just combining a prebiotic food with a probiotic food and eating them at the same time. So we got Greek yogurt with honey, kefir with unripened bananas, kombucha with chia seeds, raw milk with dark chocolate, nut butter, and flaxseed, or any combination of that, and then miso soup with onions, leeks, and asparagus. Some honorable mentions. The other prebiotic foods that I mentioned, sauerkraut, kimchi, which is fermented sauerkraut that's very common in Korea, and natto, all of these are fermented probiotic foods. You can mix a lot of those prebiotic foods that I mentioned. I didn't mention chicory root. That's a great source of prebiotics too. But onion, leeks, asparagus, artichokes, radishes, those are all great things that you can throw in with the kimchi or the sauerkraut. And again, it's not going to make your sauerkraut the typical sauerkraut, but does it really matter? Another way you can get symbiotics is by buying prepackaged symbiotics. You can go to Amazon. I have a link on my article of some prepackaged symbiotic powders that you can buy on Amazon. So the symbiotic powders are already going to have live cultures and resistant starch ingredients. If money's no object, because these are pretty pricey, or if you eat a pretty lousy standard American diet, consider this route. It's just because it's an easy way to get your probiotics and prebiotics. But ideally, get it from your food, because the body does absorb these things better as food, similar to vitamins. You know, it's the body likes to get its minerals and its vitamins from food. It just absorbs it better. Couple of last things I want to mention. You can make any combination of prebiotic and probiotic foods to make your symbiotic combo. So if you prefer your Greek yogurt with pumpkin seeds instead of honey because you're really trying to limit your sugar, by all means, put pumpkin seeds. I put pumpkin seeds in my Greek yogurt just to give it a little green color. If you want to do your kefir with berries, which is another decent prebiotic source, by all means, just do whatever you want. Just get these puppies in there. And the last thing I do want to mention is if you're not familiar with the more common prebiotic foods, I just want to roll them off just in case you're not going to go back to that episode. So I mentioned chicory root, dandelion greens. And of course, some of these are not that common in the vegetable world. We don't eat a lot of these, like artichokes maybe. But raw garlic, I've talked about how important raw garlic is. Garlic is a great natural antibiotic. It's an antimicrobial. Leeks, so we don't eat a lot of leeks. I talked about onions, cooked onions are going to have a little less than raw onions. Asparagus, the bananas, wheat bran. Chocolate's actually a prebiotic and a probiotic. You can go with apple cider vinegar. That's one of those weird prebiotic versus probiotic. They're kind of the same. They can be kind of both. Mangoes are decent, and then you can go with the legumes. So beans are a pretty good source of prebiotics as well. So beans, again, now some people in the true paleo world will eschew beans, but primal people recognize that there's a place for legumes, so lentils and beans in your diet. And then I mentioned, of course, the seeds. You can also do green banana flour, coconut flour. If you want to cook or bake with non-wheat flour, there are a lot of flours that are also resistant starch that are very good for you too. So in the event that you forget all this, just go to my article or go to my podcast and listen to them. I probably recommend going to the article because they're listed there. So that's really all I have to say today. I hope you have a great day. Take care. If you can, post a review and let people know about the podcast and the website. Because Kate and I are just teachers with 8 kids combined between us, and we do this for fun. We'd appreciate it if you went through Amazon through our links, because it's to no detriment to yourself. But if you go to our website and click on any of the links for food and you go to Amazon, any purchase that you make within 24 hours of anything on Amazon, we get a small commission, just a 3% commission on whatever you buy. And this isn't included or added to whatever you buy. So it's a win-win. It really helps us because we are not making any money off this website or off the podcast. And by purchasing something online, whatever you want, we get a small kickback, like 50 cents here or a dollar here, just enough for Kate to get her chai tea and for me to buy some dark chocolate. So we would appreciate that, okay? So guys, take care. God bless. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Holistic Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Holistic News Now and at our Facebook page at Naturopathic Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Buy The Confessions of an Obese Child ebook on Amazon or Barnes & Noble Nook. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at NPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time. Music courtesy of Nine Inch Nails.